I on? Yes, I am. This evening, we are continuing in our study through the book of Joshua, Yeshua, chapter 12. And by the way, if you need a Bible, we have some here that you can grab one. I'd like for you to follow along. Joshua, chapter 12. I'm going to do something that's not Calvary-like. We're going to do 7 chapters tonight. I don't know. I'm sure some of you who try to read through the Bible in 1 year, you make it way through Genesis and then Exodus, and then you get to Leviticus and, you know, and Deuteronomy. And Joshua is, you know, it starts off really great, but then you get to chapter 12 and it goes down. Oh. So we're going to make our way through it, and trust me, it will be good when we study it. Amen? Amen. And so let's pray. Father, we are here in your presence, Lord, and we know that wherever you dwell, Lord, there's holiness, there is your glory. And Lord, we don't have to see it, Lord, we know that you're here with us. As your words say, where there's two or more that gathers in your name, you are there in the midst. And so, Father, we thank you for being here. And we pray that as we read your word, that you will teach us, that you will show us, you will guide us, you will lead us. You stir our hearts, Lord, and that you make us more like your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, if you have your spot, Joshua chapter 12, hopefully I'll be able to, again, finish quickly. You won't be here all night. Joshua chapter 12, verse 1. These are the kings of the land whom the children of Israel defeated, and whose land they possess on the other side of the Jordan towards the rising of the sun, from the river Arnon to Mount Hermon, and all the eastern Jordan plains. Now, if you pause there for a second, the first 6 verse of Joshua chapter 12, it gives us a summary of the 5 northern kings Joshua and Israel defeated. If you were with us the last week, we went over chapter 10 and 12. And Joshua and the Israelites, they fought against these 5 kings, which had over 300,000 men that came against Israel. And the Lord, of course, they were probably outnumbered 10 to 1, but the Lord gave them victory. He told them to attack. And so now, you know, Joshua is given a summary of what's going to happen, what happened really in this battle. And of course, we went over the battles and all of the battles that they went through. And so we're not going to read all of these verses here. But again, it's just a summary. Now, if you will note that even though Joshua just finished this battle, he goes over and he reiterates what happened. He gives this overview. And I believe it's because of the simple fact that, well, when there's great victory, especially great spiritual victory, it's always good to just go back and say, look at what God has done. You know, you share the story. Oh, let me tell you. If you remember when David slew Goliath, the Bible tells us that David took the sword and he cut off Goliath's head. And it was a chapter later or so, and he still had Goliath's head in his hand, running all over. I got him, you know, couldn't believe it. And Joshua is doing this, again, just saying, this is the victory that God has given us over these 5 kings, which in reality, we couldn't beat them. We couldn't defeat them by ourselves. So I believe it was an encouragement to Joshua to remind himself that God is greater than anything or anyone that we come against. But secondly, I believe it was also an encouragement for, well, for the Israelites. The Israelites, they weren't too, you know, courageous themselves. But Joshua says, hey, let me remind you of this great victory. Because even as they enter into this promised land, and we will look at how they're going to possess the land, there's still a little, you know, some scattered people that's around that they're going to have to drive out. And he's just basically saying, hey, if God has given us this great victory, there's nothing that you can't do through your God. And so, if you remember, one of my favorite parts in the previous chapter, in chapter 10, actually, what Joshua said in verse 24 and 25 of chapter 10, Joshua said to the captains of the men of war who went with him, come near, put your feet on the necks of these kings. Then Joshua said to them, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Be strong and be of good courage, for thus the Lord will do to all your enemies against whom you fight. So Joshua was encouraging the Israelites and saying, hey, be of good courage. God is with you. And when it comes to the New Testament, we have the same, from our Lord Jesus Christ, come and put your feet on Satan. And actually in Romans chapter 16, verse 20, it says that the God of peace, which crushes Satan under your feet shortly. You see, we know Joshua, a type of Christ, came into the promised land, defeated their enemies. Listen, Jesus, our Messiah, our King, our soldier, he came and he defeated hell and death. He defeated Satan. And so therefore, he said, we will put our feet on Satan's head and crush his head. See, that's the victory that we have. And again, we're in Joshua. We're talking about living in a spirit-filled, a victorious, spirit-filled life. And so when it comes to any battle, any one who comes against us, any struggle sin-wise, listen, we have victory in Christ. And so therefore, we can put our feet on Satan and crush his head. Now, in verse 7 through 14 of Joshua chapter 12, 7 through 24, it gives the names of the 31 kings that they defeated in the west side of the Jordan. So if you look in your Bible, you will see there is a lot of names. And next to each name, he has and one. You see, one by one, all of these names are listed for us. And God promised, again, the victory that they will have. And as you look at these names, it's kind of like, well, they're, you know, went on a, you know, for their season, if I could say. Israelites, one. The enemy, zero. You know, and he goes down that list. And it was, you know, again, their 31 winning season with no losses. Now, any sports team that has a 31-0, you're going to say, man, they're hot. They're on fire. And that's what is going on with the Israelites. They were hot. They were on fire. They had no defeats. The only one time that they encountered some problem, if anyone remembers, is when they disobeyed God, when they didn't follow him completely, when Achan stole stuff from Jericho, and because of that, well, the city of Ai, they came against them and they had to flee. But God gave them the victory even over Ai. But again, it was only when they obeyed God. And that should speak to us, because again, we have victory. We have spiritual victory in Christ. And we can have a 31-0 record. When it comes against sin, we can say, no, I don't have to give in to sin. When it comes to temptation, no, I don't have to give in to temptation. We can do that. But you see, sometimes we're acting a lot like Achan, and we turn from what God says to do. And because of that, well, we experience defeat. But again, when we look at what God has done through Israel, they experience great victory. Now, we're moving on to chapter 13. I'm telling you, we're going to move fast. Verse 1, now Joshua was old, advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, you are old. Advanced in years, and there remain very much land yet to possess. See, Joshua was an old man, and I believe he was somewhere probably around 85. When it comes to old age, when it comes to retirement, well, I've said it in the past, we as Christians, we don't retire. We actually refire. It's a time to really dedicate more time to the Lord. You know, Joshua, at this old age, he could have easily say, you know what, I'm going to relax. I'm going to hang out and just watch my grandkids and do those type of things. But that's not what he does. The Lord said to Joshua, you are old, but notice what he said. There is still much work to be done. There's still much land to possess. You see, there are still those portions, like I mentioned, in the land of Canaan that was still occupied by the heathen nations. And God is saying, don't, you know, it's not time to relax, man. It's time to go and occupy the entire land. And I believe in the same way, there are still, for us, even though Jesus Christ have won the victory, there still needs to be, well, an ongoing effort to occupy all of the spiritual blessings that Jesus won for us. Now, Paul tells us, and I mentioned this before, we should know it by heart now, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul tells us, every spiritual blessings are yours in Christ. Every spiritual blessing. And so therefore, when we are saved, when we're born again, well, we're blessed. But again, there's still all of this extra blessing, in a sense, that we can have in Christ. But sometimes we get, you know, kind of in a retirement, well, I'm blessed, I'm going to heaven, and so I'm, therefore I'm fine. But Peter tells us, listen, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 10, he says, but also for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Notice he said, add to it. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. For these things are yours and abound. You will be neither barren nor unfruitful nor in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness. Let me read that again. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he has cleansed us from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to take your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. You see, in this walk, this spiritual walk that we have, we can add. There's no limit to our spiritual growth, our spiritual maturity. But again, if we say, you know what, I'm satisfied. Well, if that's what you want, if you want to just kick back, that's you can just stay there, that's fine. But the Lord, as he tells Joshua, there's still land to occupy, man. Keep adding to what I have given you. Now, verse 2 through 6 describes the portion of the land that were still inhabited by the heathen nations. So in verse 7, all the way to chapter 19, to the end of chapter 19, the land will be divided between the 12 tribes. So if you remember, actually, it's less than 12, because on the other side of the Jordan, the east side, there were two tribes that already taken their portion, and the half tribe of Manasseh also took their portion there. So the remainder of the tribes is where was who's going to divide up the remainder of the land on the west side of the Jordan. Now, this is the section of scripture that, again, it can be very, like eating spinach, you know. It's like, do I really want to read these names? And if you look through them, it really gets challenging. And this is where people fall asleep reading the Bible. But here's the deal. the Israelites are going to divide up this land. They're going to receive their inheritance. And you know why it's sometimes hard for us to read this? You know why we're not, in a sense, not interested in reading it? Well, have you ever gone to the reading of a will? Well, have you ever gone to a reading of a will that your name is not in the will? Well, why would I want to go to a reading of a will where my name, I'm not interested? Because why? Well, my name is not there, so that means I get no land. I get no inheritance. So can we just move on? Well, you see, while it might seem unimportant to read this section of Scripture, listen, it's very important to make some notes of what's going on. You see, God made some promises. And what is that promise? Well, he made a promise to Abraham way back in Genesis chapter 15. He told him that he's going to give him the land of Canaan as his inheritance. And as we look at these chapters, these next couple chapters, they're dividing up the land. What is going on? Well, it's the inheritance, is the promise that is being fulfilled. And to keep in mind, from Genesis till now, there's probably 440 years for this promise to be fulfilled. And why do I point that out? Well, you see, if God is faithful, Abraham, I'm going to give you this land. Here it is that his grand, great, great, great grandchildren are now inheriting the land. If God is faithful to them, guess what? He is faithful to us. When he makes promises and he keeps his promise, and we say, yeah, after 440 years, he did. So guess what? After how many years of, well, it's been over 2,000 years, Jesus Christ has made the promise. And so therefore, we can know that his promises will be for us today. And so they are going to split up their inheritance. I looked up this word inheritance, and if you want to take note, I don't know if you want to, but it occurs 246 times in the Bible, this word inheritance. 18 times in the New Testament, 9 of which pertains to us specifically. Now, how many of you want to know what your inheritance are? But why didn't you want to read, you know, Joshua? So 9 times, this word speaks to us. If you want to write them down, Acts chapter 20, verse 32, Acts chapter 26. You know what? Look it up yourself in your concordance. I did my homework. It's time for you to do yours. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, I'm just going to summarize, tells us that our inheritance will be incorruptible, undefiled, does not fade away, and reserved for us in heaven. That's what we have in store for us. Now, when it comes to what we actually inherit, I actually did a word search for the word inherit, and it occurs 62 times in the Bible, 7 of which describes what we inherit. How many of you want to know exactly what we inherit? Well, I'll tell you. Listen, Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, we inherit the earth. If you remember the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 9, verse 29, we will inherit, or we inherit eternal life. Matthew chapter, I hope this is right. Yes, Matthew chapter 5, verse 34, we inherit the kingdom of God. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, we inherit salvation. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, we inherit the promises. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, we inherit a blessing. And Revelation 21, verse 7, we inherit all things. So these are all the things, and this is probably a short list of all things that we inherit. So we have all of these inheritances, but understand there is still one more. I was holding out. You see, in Joshua chapter 13, verse 14, the Bible tells us, if you want to read it, that the priests, the Levites, they did not receive an inheritance. Remember, all of the tribes were going to receive an inheritance, but Levi, they left them out. And you say, oh, bummer, they're not going to get any land. No, if you remember, if we go back, well, if we look at verse 33 of Joshua chapter 13, it says, but to the tribe of Levi, Moses had given no inheritance. The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance, as he had said to them. He is their inheritance. And when we look at Hebrews chapter 11, we see the hall of faith where all of these great men and men, because of their faith, God did great and mighty things. But at the end of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39, it says, all these, speaking of all of these people, have obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God have provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. You see, we have the inheritance of Jesus Christ. There is no greater, no one better, no one like our God. Sound like I'm singing a song. Yes, I am. There is no one great. There's nothing better than Jesus Christ. He is our inheritance. You see, the Bible tells us that we are priests. Levites are priests, and we are priests like them. And so, man, I'm looking forward to the day that I see my King. And he says, come. My reward is with me. My reward is me. So let's move on now. Joshua chapter 14. We're going fast, I think. In the first five verses, it begins the distribution of the land on the west side of the Jordan for the 9.5 tribes. Now, verse 1, these are the areas which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribe of the children of Israel distributed as an inheritance to them. Their inheritance was by lot, as the Lord has commanded by the hand of Moses, for 9 tribes and a half tribe. So as they go about dividing the land, notice that they had some instructions. Going back to Deuteronomy chapter 34, Moses instructed them that when they are to divide the land, they're to cast some lots. Now you ask, what is lot? Well, lots are, it's kind of like rolling a dice. They had some kind of maybe some special stone or something, but they will, you know, roll the dice and whatever it came out to, well, you know, give me a name. Trying to pick one of the 12 tribes. I can't think. Yeah. Issachar, you know. He, it fell on you, so you pick your piece of property. And so that's what they did. And that was a common practice throughout the Old Testament, that they will cast lots to find out, in a sense, what is God's will? What do God want me to do? And if you know of the story of Jonah, well, you see Jonah as he was on the ship and they were wondering, man, as the waves came, the people on the ship were saying, now somebody sinned and God is after them. So we need to find out who is a sinner. So they cast lots and it fell on Jonah, and Jonah went overboard. They kicked him out, you see.